Wow, that was powerful, huh? Very, very good. Appreciate that very much. Well, it's my pleasure now to introduce to you a friend. Ken and I have served on this council for a number of years and other boards as well. And I concur, I think, what Mark or somebody else has said, that we observe the pastor's heart. And we're excited. We really are excited that God in His providence has brought Ken to us. So at this time, I'd like to introduce to you my friend and our new state representative, Reverend Ken Floyd. Ken, come on. And just join us.
Well, sit down. I haven't done anything yet. I will make one statement right now. I decided earlier in the program that I am not going to retire. I do not want a PowerPoint played of my earlier life, even though I did have hair at one point in my life. So I just want to clear that right up. Hair is overrated. I am here tonight, as are all of us, not on my own merit, not because of my own wisdom or strength, but solely and totally due to Jesus Christ, my Savior, our Savior. I think that's important for us to remember. In an age where one-upmanship and prima donnas tend to gain all the attention, God wants men and women of conviction whose heart beats with Him and who agree with John the Baptist, who said, "He must increase while I decrease." I am here tonight because of a wonderful heritage that is not just my story, as I shared with my dear church family yesterday morning as I preached my final message as senior pastor of North Park Baptist Church. This is our story. We are here because God has called us. I give thanks to God that even though it was a little later in my life, not till towards the end of my teen years, that God moved a humble family next door to our family, where as a senior in high school, I was introduced to the gospel because a neighbor lady took time to have coffee with my mother and then invited her to attend a little Baptist church on the other end of town. I have to admit, when my mom told us that she was going to attend a Baptist church, and said when she came home from attending a service there that at that Baptist church she had gone forward at the invitation given by a pastor there to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior, my first response was not to cheer and rejoice with the angels in heaven. I was scared to death. All I could hear was the word Baptist, and all I could think of were people swinging from chandeliers, doing cartwheels down aisles, and all kinds of other wild and ridiculous things. Little did I know that that was God beginning to do a great work in our lives. I give thanks to God for Maranatha Baptist Church in Springfield, Ohio. a faithful testimony for Jesus Christ for several decades now. A church that has never grown large enough to have more than one pastor on staff. A church that has stood true to the Word of God. And during the 4 or 5 years of the time when my wife first was saved as a child in grade school, watching the godly role modeling of a pastor and his wife having spent several nights at overnight sleepovers with their daughter. So touched by the testimony of that pastor and his wife that when she entered seventh grade, she began to pray to God, "God, I desire to be a pastor's wife." And that pastor's wife told her, "You need to start praying for your future husband. He may not know Jesus Christ as his Savior yet." And she was right. And Sharon McFadden began to pray for her future husband, who was a pagan on the north end of Springfield, while she lived on the south end. And that pastor, Clifford Lonas, mentored Sharon's family. Stood alongside a little old Kentucky hillbilly who left with his father and family from the coal mines of Kentucky to move to Springfield to find a better life. When we came to Christ as a family, we joined that church, leaving liberal Methodism, and that man preached the gospel. And I came to Jesus Christ my senior year of high school. My pastor's here tonight. I had no idea he was coming. Pastor Lonas, would you stand? Thank you. That's our story. Someone responded to the call. Someone reached out and shared as one of the few, one of the faithful. I watched parents who were very moral, and by God's grace gave me a very moral upbringing, and just missed one ingredient that would seal it all, and that was they needed to understand it was not by works of righteousness which they would do, but by God's mercy that they could be saved. And I watched God transform their lives. Not from slums, not from sewers, not from alcoholism, none of that. But it was so evident that God was doing a work in their lives. And they're here tonight. Mom and Dad, would you stand? You'll notice the resemblance, at least from one of them. I have to admit, when I first started attending that little Baptist church in Springfield, Ohio, I was attracted to the Word of God, and I was attracted to this good-looking senior high gal in that youth group. We used to affectionately call her in our Sunday school class Paul Harvey, because she had a comment on each and everything that our Sunday school teacher would tell us. And I decided that I would join up with Paul Harvey and have a good day. And that's been going on for almost 30 years, 30 years this November. And my sweet Sharon, who prayed for me before she knew me, who was so concerned when we first started dating that I wouldn't just date her because I was attracted to Christianity rather than convinced that it was God's will for us to be joined together, was my key discipler. By her example, by her purity, by her commitment to walk with God and what she sensed God's call to be in her life. So much so that when we first started dating, I found out a few years later, only because she just wanted to be nice to me and be a friend, not because she was necessarily attracted to me, although I had so much to offer. She determined it wasn't God's will because I had determined I was going to be a medical doctor. It was only because of Sharon and young people like her in that little Baptist church who convinced me, don't go to secular university, go to a Christian college first, so that you can be grounded in the Word of God, because the discipline that you're entering will be one that will pull you away from the moorings of faith. And their testimony was so credible that I said, what is a Christian college and where is one? And they told me about Cedarville, only 20 miles away. I didn't even know it existed. And I said, give me an application, and I'll fill it out. Their walk was so credible, I didn't even go to check out the campus. I just trusted their testimony. And I entered Cedarville College. And thus began a long legacy that is a part of our story. Because like you, God brought people into my life, godly people, humble people, people from various backgrounds with varying pedigrees, varying stories, except for one common denominator, and that was all of them had joined up at the foot of the cross. And God used those people to mold and to shape me. I have to admit, yesterday was a very emotional day for me and for us. I really don't stand here tonight because I wanted this. I have to be very honest. I have to be brutally honest with you, even as I felt this way some 13 years ago when I stood for the first time before the North Park flock, having left a ministry I loved dearly. And I stood there knowing in my mind this is what God wanted, but in my heart I was torn. And I stand here with you tonight, a broken man. This has been the hardest thing that we've gone through in our lives, because we pastored such a wonderful flock of people. My prayer partners came here tonight to pray with me. They met with Maynard and I. And they prayed and they wept and we wept. And they represent a group of people like us. Blood-bought. Committed to purposes that are well beyond what we could ever imagine. I told them when on September 24th, the last day of the 50th year of my life, assuming that day I wouldn't even make it to 51, it was such a hard thing to do. I told them that day when I announced, after preaching a message on how God had wrestled with me and humbled me and caused me to fear Him more than any other fears that were welling up within me, that the reason why a search committee for the State Association of Michigan would be attracted to a Buckeye was not me. It was them. They are such a wonderful group of people. And I would ask my commissioning church, North Park Baptist Church, if you would stand, because you stand with me here tonight, led by their pastors, Joe Daniels and Tom Rohr, faithful servants of God, my pastors, for whom I thank God. Would you please stand, North Park family? Thank you. Thank you. These are days of transition, most definitely. Our theme for our conference says that. We're going through transition in our lives. We've gone, as was referenced earlier, someone asked, are you empty nesters? How many of you have gone into the empty nest syndrome? Well, my wife and I raised our hand, and then we kind of pulled it down halfway because our daughter left us 4 years ago to go off to Baptist Bible College to get her degree. We released her to the Lord at that point. We honestly believed that God would not bring her back, and we were satisfied in the Lord with that. And joyfully, God has given us an additional season of time with her. And she's going to be very mad that I'm going to ask her to do this, but I would ask my daughter Allison to stand because we love her dearly. She was like every move that we've made that she's been involved in. She was the first one convinced that this was God's will for us. And she was a very wonderful counselor to her mom and her dad. Allison, would you stand? We believe it's because she just wants to have the house for herself on the weekends now, but we'll also trust that there may be spiritual motivations involved with that as well. We stand tonight on holy ground. It seems appropriate to remove my shoes as I recognize tonight that what God has called us to, not just me, even as I told our search committee and as I told our council, man, if you think that by calling me, this will take us into the future, you're sadly mistaken. We're a team. More than that, we're a family. We're called together by God's grace to honor the name of our Savior, to be committed to Him as our Lord, to obey His commandments, to go into every part of the world and to represent Him with honor and with distinction. And for a couple of moments tonight, I just ask you to join me in listening. Just listen for a moment. Do you hear them? Do you hear them? They're talking to us. Don't flip out. They're speaking. My friend, my fellow pastor, Joe, roots for Notre Dame. How can a Baptist pastor do such a thing? It's almost as ridiculous as rooting for Wolverines or Spartans. Don't get mad at me. I wore green and I wore blue tonight, just for you. I wore scarlet and gray yesterday, but I do that today. But those Catholics get all excited at Notre Dame. And their rallying cry is, wake up the echoes. Catholics don't have a corner on that. Listen. Listen to their voices. Listen to their testimonies. The writer to the Hebrew believers says, transition and the changing of the guard is our calling. It's our rallying cry. Seeing then, therefore, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Do you hear them? Oh, I hear the ones in my life, like a Cliff Lonas, like a Joe McGinnis. I looked at Joe's Bible this morning. He is a former deacon at Maranatha, now with the Lord, who wrote down every sermon title that was ever preached in his presence. And I would ask Joe if I could look at it from time to time. And sure enough, he had every sermon title and outline that I had ever preached as a young preacher boy coming back to Maranatha from seminary. His family presented me with that Bible when I shared at his graduation service. I think of my father-in-law, Tom McFadden, the ultimate deacon, always there, first one there, last to leave, problem, leak, issue, pastor that needs supporting, he was there. Think of my mother-in-law, Ella, who didn't even graduate from high school. But when she came to Jesus Christ as her Savior, she devoured the Word of God. Little we know that her last Christmas, when Sharon and I went out to purchase for what would be her final Bible that I hold here tonight, 4 months later to be with the Lord, she was still going strong, even though cancer was ravaging her body. And I remember her many days on Saturday mornings when I would come back from seminary and my brother-in-law, Kevin, who was a pastor in the area, would come with his wife, Sharon's sister, Teresa, and we'd sit around the breakfast table while she would cook us biscuits and gravy. She would get up figuratively on her soapbox and she'd start preaching at us preachers and she'd say, now you boys think you know everything. But let me tell you this. You just need to love Jesus. And you need to preach His Word. And don't get so big-headed that you won't be effective. Listen. Do you hear the voices? The great cloud of witnesses? It's our story. There's always transition. And one faithful man, one faithful woman is followed by the next, and the next, and the next. And what distinguishes them is not their glorious pedigree. It's not all the names or letters or things in their background. It's the Christ who has redeemed them and bought them with a price. And it said, I have taken you out of the bondage of sin. Now, go and glorify Him in your body and your spirit, which are both owned by Me. Listen to them. They tell us in tribulation and hardship. And you go back to Hebrews 11 and there's a litany list of all the different issues that they faced and all the triumphs that they achieved. And whether it was through persecution or through great victory and triumph by preaching the Word and seeing multitudes come to Christ, or one teenage boy who is searching for the identity of his life as he prepares to go to medical school when he graduates from high school. We're here because of a God who says, your story is wrapped around these witnesses who went before you and who are like you. They've met Me at the cross. And they still look to Me. And they persevered and they looked to Me until the very end. And as Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 remind us, in the ultimate transition statement recorded in Scripture. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I can remember a good friend of mine, a little over a decade ago, calling me one day in my office at North Park and asking me to pray for him because he had been asked to consider a monumental task of leading a fellowship of churches. And we're good enough friends that my first response, even though as he shared it with me, I thought, you're the man. My first response as a friend was, are you nuts? Do you know what this means? Are you crazy? And I wanted to hear his response. And there was silence for a few minutes. And he said, Ken, I believe that God is in this. And I said, so do I. We'll pray that way until God shows you differently. And some of you, even if you haven't said it, you've looked at me with a, oh, wow, what a rough task. And it's not because I have to follow Maynard. That's a daunting task right there. And I say that to you, my friend. You've served well. And you're a godly woman. And as I shared with you earlier, your husband and I have been blessed of God in our ministry because of the wonderful women that He led into our lives. And you've served Him well. But just like I told our flock at North Park yesterday, as I preached about David facing his Goliath and how all of us face our Goliath, I warned them, as they are searching for the next pastor who will also be my pastor, do not try to put my armor on this man. Let him wear the armor of God and wear it well. And if he's a man of God and a man of prayer, that's all we need to ask for. And I will tell you right now, I will not be Maynard Belt. My wife will not be Ann. We will be God's servants, even as we have to this point. We are not in a solo ministry, even though for some days it has seemed as if that's what it would be. For we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And my story and her story and his story and her story is your story and 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 our story. And it's together that we march forward, looking to the one who has given us our reason for existence to begin with. You think about moments like this, and I wept as I watched that PowerPoint, and as I thought about our dear friends and the sacrifice and the commitment. He has been my state rep. He's been my pastor my entire time in Michigan. I can think of no moment where he has discouraged me or embarrassed me or where she has disappointed me. But it was not by their might. It's not by their cleverness. It's by the Spirit of God. And by God's grace, that's the way that we intend to shepherd with you. When you think about people like the Belts and the Nelsons and Woods and Bill Brock in my life and Don Moffitt, my first state rep ever, when I think of people like Carl Huerta Murley, I wore his coat tonight because I wanted to remember him. I think of other brothers and sisters who have invested in my life, people who have prayed for me every day of my life, my prayer partners who even today say, "Pastor, even though your role has changed, we're with you." My church family who has said, "We're not angry about this, we are commissioning you to this task." How do you pay? How do you pay back for that? Years ago, I read a very wise statement from someone with the initials of W.W. You know who I'm talking about, right? W.W. You're thinking Welch. But it's W.W. Hayes. You may know him as Woody. But listen, even a Buckeye comes up with something valuable every once in a while. He would tell the incoming freshman class every year as coach, as he would walk them through the hallways surrounding Ohio Stadium, and they would look at all the All-American plaques, and as they would talk about the history of that institution and of that football program, he would say, "Men, take a good look at these men. There is no way you can pay them back for what they have expended to make it possible for you to be here today in this fine institution. For you can never pay back. You can only pay forward." And my charge to you, my beloved brothers and sisters of the Michigan Association of Regular Baptist Churches, as much as we would like to pay back those who have laid the foundation as a great cloud of witnesses for you and for me on this wonderful evening in which we have rejoiced in the goodness of our God, we cannot pay them back. All we can do is pay forward. And by God's grace and with God's enablement, our desire as a couple, our desire as a church, our desire as churches is that we will pay forward looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We've got our issues. But like my mom used to tell me as a boy when I'd have a scab on my knee or something, don't pick at that scab. Let it heal. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, my desire as one who would lead you is not to pick at scabs. My desire is to lead us ahead for the glory of God. My desire is for us to realize the wonderful potential that is ours in Jesus Christ as the Church of Jesus Christ, blood bought, to make a difference for the glory of God and to help people understand that it's all right to be a Baptist, even as it's all right, friends, to be a Buckeye. This is a miracle moment in our fellowship. Who would have thunk it? Only God. This has got to be a God moment. I told that as they asked me for reasons and rationale. I said, I don't know. Maybe it's just that either God is going to prove once and for all that He's a miracle-working God to have a Buckeye lead a Michigan Fellowship of Churches, or Jesus is coming very soon. I hope it's the latter. But if it's the former, we covenant with you that by the grace of God, we will partner with you for the glory of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We ask you to pray for us in the days ahead. Obviously, this is a major change in our lives. All I've known is pastoring. I love it. I love every moment of it. We want to be your pastor in life. We want to tell our story. We want to build on the foundation of those who have gone before us. We want to lead us forward to even better days as we pay forward for the glory of God. And now, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to pray for you as together we move forward and pay forward for our Savior and our Lord. Would you bow with me? Holy, awesome Father, in these special moments as we share together, we humbly stand on holy ground. We weep with joy as we glory in your goodness, in blessing us with such wonderful servants. Your children, Maynard and Ann Bell, they have served us well. They have honored your name. We are blessed because you have used them. We stand on holy ground because tonight we once again remember our story, which is really your story, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful grace, sufficient, deep, abiding, thank you that every single person here who has come to the cross has shared their story here behind this podium tonight. For we do not walk alone. We do not serve alone. We are surrounded by a wonderful company of believers from the first day until the present, who have experienced the same grace, have been given the same charge and commission to go and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, who have committed themselves not to a solo act, but to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ, and together honor Him supremely. Tonight I pray for my brothers and sisters, the wonderful churches of the Michigan Association of Regular Baptist Churches, a sweet and wonderful fellowship that now for decades has represented You, Lord Jesus, as a part of Your body. Large, small, men and women, boys and girls, white, black, Hispanic, ethnic, blood-bought, redeemed, commissioned. We are more than conquerors through You, Lord, who loves us so. And tonight, in one accord, we commit to You our service, our allegiance, our desire to pay forward until we see You face to face. And by Your grace and through the leading of Your Spirit, may You be glorified, and may we hear from You, "Well done, You good and faithful servants." For Your glory we pray. And we say together, amen and amen.